Good morning, Emmanuel. Today's service is to mark the week of prayer for Christian unity and is a joint service of the Old Town Partnership of Churches. Here at Emmanuel in Swindon, we extend a welcome to everyone. After this service, there will be tea and coffee in the hall, and there will be also a time for us to have fellowship together. Notices are as in weekly news, and I have nothing else to give out. So I will now light the Christ candle and then the peace candle.
Good morning and welcome to our service of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. One of the strange things of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity is that in the Southern Hemisphere, it is celebrated on the week leading up to Pentecost. So we can't even get together at the same time the world around to Christian unity. Bear that in mind. The painting you have on the cover of the number of service chosen by the organizers of the service is from a group that originated in Cameroon called Mafa Jesus, and they've transcribed the whole New Testament visually into the context of Africa. And they have the most wonderful collection of paintings that you can imagine. The service has been prepared by Christians in Burkina Faso. Would it be embarrassing to ask you if you know where Burkina Faso is? A good guess, anywhere? Africa, fine. East or west? Fine. Okay, now there we are. So we'll have a basic idea of where all this comes from. In Burkina Faso, a calabash, a hollowed out gourd, is used to share water with guests who arrive tired from their journey. We aren't in Burkina Faso, so the nearest I could get was a jug of water and a glass of water. The feeling is the same. Water is poured into the bowl and expresses welcome, hospitality, and fellowship. It isn't here, but we will continue that after the service if we'd love you to stay. After the visitor has been refreshed, conversation can begin and the purpose of the visit can be expressed. So part of this comes from the reading of the Old Testament, which we will now hear.
The reading is from Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oak of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heart of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, kneaded it, and make cakes." Abraham went to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and a calf that he had prepared, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. This is the word of God.
And we join together in singing, as printed, "We praise you, Lord, who made us one."
We stand united.
I will lead the invitation to prayer, and then from Bath Road we will hear the litany of praise and thanksgiving. We are gathered to pray for the visible unity of the Church. So let us praise God, saying all together, Glory to you, Father, for you reveal yourself in your creation and call all people to live in your presence. Glory to you, Christ Jesus, for you give yourself entirely to each one of us and invite us to do the same. Glory to you, Holy Spirit, for you gather us together in love and unity. Glory to you, God of love, in whom we are created, redeemed, and made one. Amen.
Let us turn our hearts to God in praise. Praise to you, Lord, for you have poured out your love into our hearts so that we never lose hope.
Lord, we praise you.
By your love, you free our lives from fear and dress our wounded and injured hearts.
Lord, we praise you.
For all who sow seeds of compassion and love for their neighbours around the world,
Lord, we praise you.
Eternal God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, your Son, the Redeemer of all creation.
Lord, we thank you.
For the grace that renews and the blossoming of faith, hope and love.
Lord, we thank you.
For the faith we received from the apostles, for Jesus' prayer for unity, and for the gift of the good news of salvation.
Lord, we thank you.
Gracious God, for the generosity of your love for all people, a love so perfect it is beyond our comprehension.
Lord, we adore you.
For sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world,
Lord, we adore you.
For continuing to fill our lives with your love through the Holy Spirit,
Lord, we adore you.
The journey is step by step, and we need to take the first one to be able to take the second and so forth. One more step along the way I go.
Traveling along with you. Let us pray. We come before you, O God, to confess our sins by seeking happiness without God and ignoring the command to love. We have turned from our neighbor. Our selfishness and desire to possess and control separate us from God. Merciful God, forgive and heal us. When we disregard the humanity of others and build walls of division, we sow seeds of hatred and violence, abandoning the Lord's command to love. Merciful God, forgive and heal us. When our lack of compassion hardens our hearts, we no longer see Jesus in those different from ourselves. Merciful God, forgive and heal us. When we fail to open our hearts and minds to God's infinite and unconditional love, the world is darkened by selfishness, violence, and indifference. Merciful God, forgive and heal us. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins and transform us by your Holy Spirit. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy on us.
And Anne will lead us in the responsorial psalm, Psalm 138.
I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything.
On the day I called, you answered me.
On the day I called, you answered me. You increase my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth.
On the day I called, you answered me.
They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. But the haughty he perceives from far away.
On the day I called, you answered me.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
On the day I called, you answered me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The choir will lead us in the anthem, "The Peace of Christ Be With You."
The Gospel reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, starting at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
We sing once again, "The Church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord." Your word speaks to us. As has spoken to your people over the centuries, we pray, O Lord, give us discernment to know, to recognize, and to do what your word is asking from us for this day and this time. Amen. Amen. Jesus' ministry always happened on the fringes of society. And that upset the establishment. The reading, gospel reading from today is quite clear in that sense. They're out to trick him. He was a carpenter. The disciples were people from the margins of society. Fishers, tax collectors, the sick, the person with leprosy, the Samaritan woman by the well, the woman that came to him losing blood, and again a Samaritan. He had a knack of choosing those who didn't fit. And all I can say is thank God for that. So those who believed they were the right sort of people were never very happy when Jesus was around. Not all of them, let's admit that, but on the whole. And this was the case for quite some time, until the church began to take decisions to be part of the establishment, supporting the establishment, and sadly walking away from its roots, that what Jesus had set out as necessary. Jesus turned everything topsy-turvy. And over the years, society has turned everything back to what it was before Jesus turned it topsy-turvy. And there is a tension in that. Each day during my devotional time, I use the affirmation of faith that the United Church of Canada produced many years back. And it includes the words, "We are called to be the church, to seek justice and resist evil." The challenge then, as I see it, the challenge set before us all is to be the church body of Christ, which so often is rather different from the church establishment. Today's reading ends with the words, "Go and do likewise." This, and with the words of the Sermon on the Mount, and if you are particularly interested, you know the words of Matthew quite well, go to Luke's version and read the Sermon on the Mount there. If Matthew upsets a few people, Luke certainly will upset people, then and still today. Those have become the crucial faith challenges put before us. In the reading today, there are two focal points. Who are we to replicate? Who is the person left on the side of the road? Because we know who the people who walk past are. In the story, we have the establishment in the person of the priest and the Levite, who, confronted by the presence of the wounded man, who's left stripped on the side of the road, wounded, make a choice. They walk past on the other side of the road. Did they have to? Well, they had their justification. They were told what they could do and what they couldn't do, what was right and what was wrong for the establishment they represented. What would happen if he was dead? And the priest was on the way to fulfill his priestly duties. He touched a dead body. He had become impure. What happens if there are people hiding behind the bushes, ready to attack somebody who had stopped to help this person? If he was silly enough to do that road alone, he probably had it coming to him. So just to be on the safe side, somebody goes to the other side of the road and keeps on walking. And if you look at the painting you have on the cover of the Order of Service today, you can see quite clearly how advanced they are on the road. One on his donkey, I take it, one walking. But they had choices. They had the correct reasons, if you want to call it. And it is a reminder that we have choices. What we do, what we don't do, how we do it, for what reason do we do it? And then Jesus brings in a Samaritan, and you know, as soon as you've heard the word, that is going to cause an upset. Of all the people Jesus could mention Why in heaven's name does he decide to bring in a Samaritan? Come on, there must have been somebody not as extreme as that. But there again, John tells us the first conversation by the well with a Samaritan woman. Samaritans keep cropping up. He had a choice. Of all the people there, he had the sort of choice, the non-criticizable choice of walking past. They hate us. Why should I stop when the two that are part of the same tribe as he is, or the same group of people that he is, have just walked on? Of all the things that have been said against us Samaritans, why am I the one to stop? He had no reason to stop, none whatsoever, except that he did decide to stop. And since then, since that moment, this has become the model of what can and should be done, and becomes the answer to the question, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man in need? If you notice, the answer is the one that showed mercy. Because not even the guy that stops and talks to Jesus can come and pronounce the word, the Samaritan. He couldn't. So he described him by his actions. And we'd all agree with that. But wasn't it shorter to say the Samaritan? But wasn't that going to cause quite a bit of an uproar? And then go and do likewise. So we've answered the first focal point. Now we have to deal with the second one. Who is the person left on the side of the road? And we don't know. We don't know anything about this person, except that he was beaten up, left naked, as dead, and needed help. In my mind, given the current reality, this person could be the migrants. Those who have been forced to leave home because their homes have been bombed, not because they necessarily choose to, and need security elsewhere. Those who have been displaced years after years after years, where they have no home, no land, no hospitals, no schools. They could be the Palestinians. He could be an Ethiopian. He could be from Yemen. I'm just talking of those that were in the newspaper this week. Take a second or two and think of who you would add to that list. Then there are the people in our own country, those who have been ignored by all. Could it be those people in mouldy flats where kids have died? Could it be the post office submasters? Could it be those who lived in the Grenfell Tower? And what about the long waiting people of the Windrush generation that were fine to come in for a day or for a time to fill the gap? But then lots of people, not everybody, but lots of people would have felt much more comfortable if they decided to go back. And I find it difficult to even say the words, go back to where they belong. What is that? Who decides that? A time where people are forced from their homes to become migrants, who are despised by so many, even in the name of religion, where the different are not welcomed by the establishment. We aren't that far away from Christmas. And to remember, part of the story of Christmas was that Joseph, Mary, and Jesus had to flee because Herod wanted to murder and then decreed the death of all males under the age of 2. And I said this from the same pulpit. They went to Egypt, which in the mind of the people was where they had escaped slavery before. But suddenly it had become more welcoming than the land in which they lived. Having said all this, I feel that they could nurture so many of those on the side of the road. But again, we all know there are many who help, many who welcome, many when Ukraine war started, opened their homes. Many who have prepared meals for others. Many who make a difference. And we're connected to them. Our churches know them. We work for them. The partnership project for this year, in a way, is trying to include people who make a difference. You know, I mean, for example, the street pastors, on these really cold, rainy nights, we'd all prefer to be in bed, warm in bed, and they're out. To remember those who've offered refuge, those who've been kind to people, simply when kindness is sometimes lacking. You can take the order of service back and just reread the hymns we've been singing. Those who stop in their tracks to look after the ones on the side of the road, by many in the world today, are considered rebellious. A word, I'm going to use another word, that in South America and many other countries of the world was a hard word, especially if it was used against you. Subversive. But then I learned to ask who defines the subversive. And that often answers many questions. The church, the body of Christ, or the church establishment sometimes coincide, but not always. And we have the right. It is our choice, and sometimes it's the necessity of the times to ask the establishment why this choice and not that choice. And yet, the instruction from Jesus, who calls us to be the body of Christ, welcome the stranger, offer kindness to the displaced, that the hurt may find healing. Interestingly enough, 20 centuries later, certain words of Jesus continue to make certain people feel uncomfortable. Now, I am not here to make us feel uncomfortable. That's not my intention. My intention in the reading of the word, and I believe Spirit-inspired, is to remind us that if sometimes we feel uncomfortable, we aren't alone. We are not only each of our churches, we are the partnership of churches, coming together, working together. We aren't alone. We live in God's world. We must be careful then, because we have been entrusted by God with a mission to change the world for justice, for good, for solidarity, and do it with love. It's not easy, but we do it together. We come together. And if you think, and many of us do think, that the passion for doing things together isn't as strong as it was, you are right. Because it's slowly being replaced by, let's do it alone. That's when we have to draw the line. That's when we say no. No matter what is said, we know. We've done it. We believe that doing it alone is not the same as doing it together. We have less opportunities of reaching other people. Doing it alone is sending the wrong message to the world. We need to grasp and pick up doing it together in passion because that is what we have been told today. Go and do likewise, and the world will see. And the world can be transformed. So what is our choice? That, my friends, is the question we will have to take home and try and answer. Come up with your own answers, share them with others. Let us grow together rather than dwindle on our own. Because if that happens, suddenly we too become the ones on the side of the road needing help. And my final words, remember, it's great to help, but also it's important to recognize that sometimes we need to accept help from others. And what do? Are we willing to accept help from the Samaritan? May God lead us on the way forward, and that this order of service and the week of prayer for Christian unity may remind us of that which is our passion that needs rekindling. Amen. In a few seconds, after a time of silence, Simon will lead us in the affirmation of words well known and well loved.
Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. If you're able to, please stand. Friends, if I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, it's not irritable or resentful.
It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth.
Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Love never ends, but as for promises, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end.
For we know friends only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. And now faith, hope, and love abide these three, and the greatest of these is love.
And as you're standing, if you want to prefer sit, you can, but we will now sing the hymn God of Grace and God of Glory, and while the hymn has been sung, the offering will be collected. And Wally will now lead us in the prayers of intercession.
Just before we start the prayers, it's so nice to see so many of our friends here from the partnership, so a very, very warm welcome to you all. Dear Lord, new year, but sadly, the same old problems. Firstly, we bring to you every war and conflict out there and pray for renewed efforts by all concerned to bring a real lasting peace to these areas. May they all be guided by you and not by selfish concerns or greed. With many important elections coming soon, we pray that they will be conducted in a fair way and that those elected would turn to you for strength and wisdom for all their decisions in order to make this world a better place for all of us. Let us not forget that we are stewards of our planet and we each need to play our part in ensuring all its wonderful resources are shared fairly in all places. Let us try really hard to reduce, reuse, and recycle. We pray for your church to be really involved in the many needs of our world, our country, and our town. May we try to be of real service to all our families, friends, and neighbours. And we ask especially that our old town partnership may really thrive. Now we pause to think of and pray for all those going through difficult times in our church, our families, and neighbourhoods. We pray for them now in the silence. And finally, let us count our many blessings and thank you for every one of them. We pray all these things in your dear Son's name. Amen.
And those who prepared the order of service ask us to join after our own prayers with the prayers they prepared for us. We have been called to love God and our neighbour as ourselves. As we renew our commitment to this calling, may love strengthen our unity as Christians. God of boundless love, we pray that all people may come to know your unlimited mercy and your infinite love. Fill us with your love. Make us one in you. God, our shepherd, we who are scattered ask you to gather us into one fold.
Fill us with your love. Make us one.
God of mission, enliven us by your spirit and send us again to be the light of the world and salt of the earth.
Bless with your love. Make us one.
God of our journey, in our weakness and fear we often pass by on the other side. Grant us grace to risk embracing the stranger in need, tending their wounds of body, mind, and spirit.
Bless us with your love. Make us one in you.
God of communion, we pray that we may work together for your greater glory and spread the good news of salvation for all.
Fill us with your love. Make us one in you.
And now we join our prayers to that of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory,
we sing, Christ from whom all blessings flow. Lord Jesus, who prayed that all might be one, we pray to you for the unity of all Christians, according to your will, according to your means. May your Spirit enable us to experience the suffering caused by division, to see our sin and hope beyond all hope. Amen.
And just before the final blessing and the final hymn, a reminder, you're invited to share tea, coffee, biscuits. There are tables in the hall. Any of these two doors will take you to the hall. And if you're not too sure, there is somebody here who knows the way. Follow them, and they will lead you not astray, but to the right destination. And yes, I know what we tend to do, sit with people we know. If you can sit with at least one person that you don't know too well and begin a new conversation, it might make a difference to somebody's life today. So feel free. You have been refreshed by the water of life, united in Christ and enlivened by the Holy Spirit. Go forth to love God and your neighbor as yourself. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you all, now and always.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
At the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Lord.